Welcome to Ascension Day, a Warhammer 40,000 Gene Stealer Cult podcast. My name is Gabe Connor, and I have with me Dustin Henshaw. Dustin, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. And for anyone who's not aware, Dustin Henshaw is not only a fantastic Gene Stealer Cult player, he's also a member of Stutter Scrub. Which you guys seem to just be destroying tournaments up there in Canada and down here in the States as well as a member of Team Canada. How's that been balancing those two teams? Because I imagine just with how prolific they both are, that it's it could be time consuming.
Well, it's actually a lot easier to do with the team tournaments that are growing a lot more in the Canadian scene. I can go to a lot of these tournaments, and Team Canada is very open about making sure that you go with your own teams, because they don't want to alienate everybody else, because a lot of the players are part of their own local teams, right? So they want to make sure that these teams can still represent themselves and still do well, instead of taking all the best players in the country. Like, all right, guys, everybody else, good luck. So
yeah,
I actually have a great time with the stud team that I have put together, and we end up obviously facing off against the other Team Canada teams that I put together. So it's easy to balance because I don't need to.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's really good. And I've talked to Kiri kind of about it before, but it seems like Canada is really trying to like rev themselves up to be like a household name, like within teams and just within the greater like 40K competitive sphere. So that's awesome, that, you know, to hear how much everything's growing and how fast everything's growing.
Oh, for sure. The Team Canada brand is actually 40K is it's getting up there for sure. They're doing a lot to make sure the team is prepped and ready for WTC and even just the local scenes. Like, even, like, one of the reasons I like bringing the stud team to these events is to make sure that the other Team Canada members are kept on their toes, right? Because we want to give each other as much game as possible before we go across the pond and get even more game.
Absolutely. Oh yeah. Well, thanks again, Dustin, for coming on. And so, Dustin, real quick before we get started, could you give me a little intro about yourself? Specifically, what is your 40K career with GSC been like? You know, what's it been like taking them to tournaments, any team events, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, for sure. So I've been playing GSC since it's been possible to play them. And I don't mean like Space Hulk, because that's technically when they were introduced, but I didn't actually play Gene Stealer Cult then. They weren't really a thing. I think when they were introduced, I think it was around the end of 7th editions when they dropped, because I remember something about the formations and getting sick of them and then being excited that GSC finally dropped. I was a Tyranid player for a very long time, and then once the Force of the High Bind became officially a thing, and Gene Stealer Cult actually had some pretty cool little tricks and tactics to come in, I got so excited about playing them that I pretty much played them exclusively since then. Aside from, like, I'll play the odd game or the odd tournament with another army and still, like, with Tyranids. But when Force of the High Mind was still a thing, you know, pour one out for forces. But that was my jam. I loved being able to mix the Tyranids and GSC. But ever since I've kind of been forced to pick one or the other, it's been no contest. The GSC has just been my style of play, and the way that they feel, the way that they play, the stratagems, and even just the fluff of them. I just love them. And playing them at tournaments, I've been doing it for that so many years now. I've won some GTs, I've won some majors. I go to almost every team event I can playing them, just because I feel like they're actually really good team army, even now. I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but this is my army, so I'm gonna play it. You know.
You know, I was chatting with Meissen about, and I mean, he's bringing GSC as well. So you know, to team events, so I definitely don't think that you're alone in terms of top. But I think the thing that you and Meissen and like have in common is just the amount of reps you guys have with the army. So, you know, whenever you drop like a unit of neophytes, like, you know exactly where the seismics are going to go, you know exactly where the icon is going to go. So I think like whenever you have that amount of reps with a faction, you can feel comfortable taking them into a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah, for sure. Like GSC are definitely one of those armies that you need reps into if you want to do well with them. It's this army that you could pick up and play if you do like the straight up, here's all my guns, I'm gonna try and table you in two turns. You can do that, but one little mistake with GSC and you're toast. You're just toast.
Absolutely.
And yeah. I play at least three games a week, so that's not including when I have tournaments on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of reps.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, no, I recently about 3 or 4 months ago, I've pretty much just been exclusively playing Gene Stealer Cult. Not even playing. I brought my CK to a little, not a little, but I brought my CK to a GT, and then ever since then, it's just been GSC. And I tell you, like, it's been amazing to see how much better I've gotten with just, I feel like GSC is one of those armies where if you put in the work, you get the reward.
You will notice the difference. 100%. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Dustin, so today we're going to be talking about scoring and how we can use all this knowledge that we've accrued to basically do the thing that wins the game, right? Which is scoring more points than the other guy. So kind of the broad subjects we'll be talking about is scoring your own primary, doing primary denial, and scoring your secondaries, as well as how would we come back from a score deficit. And before we get any further, if you guys would like to be able to ask questions on shows in the future, as well as submit lists for list reviews, please consider joining the Ascension Day podcast community Discord, which is going to be, the link will be in the show notes below. Feel free to come in and join and chat about everyone's favorite space rednecks. Alrighty, well, let's get started. So, scoring primary, Dustin, when you think about scoring primary with GSC, like, what is your first inclination of, like, this is how I'm going to try and do it?
Two words: loan up.
we have
a lot of ways to loan up, and honestly, we usually want to pick one objective on the in the middle board, which is usually one of the corners, and say, okay, this is going to be my loan up objective, which in most cases, let's be honest, I would say 90%, if not 100% of GSC lists have at least one loan up. Usually it's a saboteur, but they'll usually have one of those, and that's what you want to set up for. It's not something that will hold an objective indefinitely. Like, if they start to pressure it, then I was about to swear. Is this family friendly?
This is explicit. You're good to go.
Okay. All right. Good. just need to make sure before I sort of drop a bomb there. No, but anyway, yes. All right. So if you have one of these loan ups, you do want to pick one of those objectives to kind of not necessarily focus on, because you just have that one guy there, and it forces your opponent to say, all right, I either need to commit here and fuck up this saboteur.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a lot more than you'd think to kill a saboteur, because you can't do it with just little dinky units with melee, because they'll get bombed. You have to be within 12 inches to do that. You know, the saboteurs are the best for this for that reason, because even little units like MSU units that go in and try to kill him may have trouble depending on what you're fighting against. So,
absolutely.
Like, primary-wise, the saboteur is generally your best bet, but loan up in general, plus the fact that we have the ability to loan up any of our infantry units is incredible. But I usually save that for more aggressive plays, so to speak. But generally speaking, because primary is based on holding at least one objective in no man's land, in I think almost every scenario, you need to have the ability to at least hold one in no man's land. That's your best option, because you can start them out there. Don't start them on the objective, because there's lots, because you're going to play tactical. Don't start them on the objective, but start them near it in a safe spot. That's the best way to start your plan for holding your own primary. And it's something to remember, especially as a GSC player, do not try and hold every objective in No Man's Land. There's almost no reason to ever do that as GSC. Because all you're going to do is give up points, you're going to give up resources, and our stuff costs too much right now to really sacrifice that kind of stuff. Now, you want to have to, you want to pressure some objectives, but not hold them. This is a whole other segment, like a coaching segment that I have to go into, but there's more to it. But the baseline of it, you pick one corner objective, and that's your, like, what I'll call the lone op objective. And then the other objectives is what you're going to be pressuring with your offensive units, with your neophytes, your acolytes, your aberrants, if you have them, gene stealers, whatever it might be.
That makes sense. I think I'm gonna dig in on something specific that you said.
Sure.
You we are overcosted in terms of being able to have cute, like, tech units. That's something that I think is super, like, so I see a lot of people's lists, and then they try to write GSC as if they were like Space Marines, or if they were like Drukhari or something, you know what I mean, like something that's like, oh, these are my damage guys, these are my tech guys, these are my other guys that do. And it's like, we are, I feel, and you can say whether you agree or not, but I feel like GSC, like, with the points that we are at, we don't have the luxury of being like, oh, we have tech guys, like, everything has to kill and do other jobs. It's like you're wearing like five hats. Like, your neophyte unit is move blocking, killing, and scoring. Your acolyte unit is move blocking, killing, and scoring. Like you said, your reductive saboteur, she's gonna hold that objective, and then she's gonna advance and throw a grenade and throw her satchels, and, you know what I mean, and then go and kill something. So I think you bring, that's a really good point, of like not thinking that, or just like letting people know that we don't really have the luxury of being like, oh, you can't just bring things that are just gonna be cute funny tech that might, you know, score you 5 points, you know.
No, and that's unfortunately where we are right now, because GSC used to be able to do that, but unfortunately now we are still being costed as though we always come back, which anybody that plays GSC knows you do not.
No.
Like, that 3-up save, you will fail 90% of the time.
So many ones on Acolyte.
Oh yeah, it's just it's we need to get to the point now, because there was, I didn't mention this at the beginning, but I actually didn't play GSC when they first launched in 10th, because they were so busted. I couldn't have fun with them because it was too easy. Like, you couldn't make a mistake. It's like, oh, this, I threw this unit out and they're dead. Oh wait, they're back. Okay, well, I guess I'll just do that again. It was so busted. I knew it wasn't going to last very long, so I didn't want to get used to how busted they were. And then when they finally got toned down, which everybody knew they would eventually, then you can actually play them and learn to play them right. That, unfortunately, like I said, their points didn't reflect that when they got that nerf. So we are still pointed as if we always come back. We are still pointed as though this 5-man Acolyte squad is going to kill 5 things every game, because their demo charge is going to keep coming back, because God knows why that's still a thing. I'm not complaining about it, but it's still a thing. But 85 points for those 5 guys is, when they don't always come back, even when they do, it can be rough. It's something that you can, it will definitely change the game when this kind of stuff comes back, but it's never something you can ever rely on.
Yeah. And if you think about it, it's 85 points and a CP at the minimum, if not 2.
Yeah.
More often than not, you're spending perfect ambush on them as well.
So, yeah, a lot of the time, for the 5-mans, they'll be in trucks for me, just because.
Oh, they'll be in trucks.
They'll be in trucks. Sure. I want them for those scoring trading units, and it does work well. I am not going to say they don't work well, because I have gotten some incredible value out of these 85 point units, and then when they come back, it's like, great, now I can just do it again. That's like, it does help. The problem is, like I said, because you can't rely on it, 85 points for a unit like that is just, it's hard to justify when you can bring some cheaper stuff when we're talking about like Brood Brothers, because you can get some easy scoring units, trading units in there. 10 Catechin for 55 points, just like, okay, I mean,
yeah,
that's incredible. But we don't want to do that. We want to play pure GSC, right? That's not...
That's a, yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I just wanted to highlight that as well, because I think, you know, I'm a part of a few different like Discords and groups, and you know, that's something I'll see with a lot of people's lists is like, oh, I want to bring, you know, 3 Reductuses and 2 Keller Morphs and stuff. I'm like, that is a lot of points. That's another unit of neophytes.
Yep.
Who could be dropping in and killing shit.
Yeah.
You know, so that's hard. Like, it's a hard pill to swallow, because it, like GSC, like playing them can be so counterintuitive sometimes.
But I mean,
you shouldn't be playing GSC if you want an easy army, right? We're not the easy army.
No, we are not the easy. We are not easy move by any stretch. That said, I personally will actually take triple Saboteur in a lot of singles events. I will do that specifically.
Oh yeah.
I think Saboteurs are, if GSC still had a tech piece, that is our tech piece.
True. Yeah. The Sab, she she also does just more than score you homers.
Oh, 100%.
Still, I've had my Sab kill a War Dog from full health.
Run up,
grenade, throw bomb, and it dies. It's like, yeah. good girl.
Like, that Saboteur is just, oh, they're just hard value.
Oh yeah, 100%. So, so we kind of already talked about this, but you know, best units to score, that's going to be your loan op. That's going to be your, maybe earlier in the game, after you drop your acolytes, those kind of guys, just like sitting on an objective. Acolytes are actually pretty funny because not a lot of people want to kill them early. So, yeah, you know, because they're like, oh, I don't want that thing coming back. So they'll just leave them alone. It's like, okay, well, there's OC-20 just sitting on this point. That's fine.
It's hilarious how many people are like, oh, I don't want to kill that. Like, okay. I mean, I'm fine with them sitting there the rest of the game. Like, that's fine.
That is perfectly okay. They can cleanse.
You think I'm going to make this 3-up? Oh, boy.
But another thing that could be hard, and I've struggled with this in some of my games as well, is, and this is specifically probably more for neophytes than anything, but when should you be staying on the board to potentially score you some primary, versus when would you want to be using Return to Shadows to drag them back into Deep Strike?
So this is always going to, I think this is probably, like you said, one of the hardest decisions to make in GSC on a regular basis, just because your neophytes with a Primus, I'm going to stipulate with a Primus,
yes,
are one of your best damage dealing, most consistent damage dealing units. I'm not going to say best because double charge acolytes are technically better, but they are the most consistent damage dealing unit you have in your army. And it is important to use them properly. So that said, there are many schools of thought on this. I think people are finally getting to the point that where I think neophytes should be, and that is 2 groups of 20, no more, no less, because that is the perfect number. 2 Primus, two blocks of 20, and a Nexus to go with one of them. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, both of those are coming up every turn.
Gotcha.
Because you should, and I'm using air quotes because this is good radio, you should have at least one, like a Saboteur, your Ridge Runner on your home objective, whatever it is, you should have enough things on those objectives to hold them. If you don't, then you need to actually think about, okay, do I want this primary? And primary is one of those things that you need to think ahead of time. Can you get this these primary points back? Because if the answer is no, you're not bringing those guys up, because anytime that you cannot gain points back, those points are more valuable.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of missions like the kill more, hold more kind of thing. You can make some back up at the end of the game. The I think it's priority where you can get that massive 25 points in the last turn kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. there are situations where you can like make those points back, but a lot of missions, primary is something that when you miss a good turn of primary, it's hard to come back from that. So really it's game to game, it's situation by situation. But the big thing is you don't want to put yourself in that situation where you have to make that choice. That's why you like those loan ops. And that's why you want to make sure you have more than one thing on an objective. Because as Gene said, we are not durable. Yeah, aside from average, we are not durable.
Yeah.
But we cannot get shot, which is mm-hmm. how we don't die.
Yeah, or we kill the thing that would
potentially the thing that could, yes, that target priority is a big thing with GSC as well, yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I completely agree. Yeah, it's, I think that's probably, like, one of those, like, things that differentiates, like, a novice GSC player with, like, a more veteran GSC player is being okay with, like, I know I'm going to be 5 behind on primary, but I can make up with that by being 10 above in secondary and stuff like that, which, like you said, that requires just that's a nuanced, like, game by game decision.
Yeah,
but it is one that's hard. It's I mean, I remember even like I was watching streams of like I think it was TJ Lanigan, he was playing, and he was like just talking on stream, like having that, like, do I pick these guys up, do I not? Like, it's, I think that's still such a hard, it could be a really hard choice, but I'm actually, my current list is the same way though, with 2x20 Neos. Every time I brought 3x20, I've been sacrificing other stuff too much.
Exactly.
Which has been hard, but
the most I would be okay with people doing is doing the 2x20 and then 1x10, but because you want mm-hmm. that objective, like them on an objective to both hold it and maybe get your CP. I think personally that's a waste, because again, the same thing that I was saying before, we don't have the luxury of tech pieces, and a 50-50 shot of getting a CP is not worth 90 points when we're gonna play tactical and like I'll say every single game, because we're one of, if not the best armies at doing tactical.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, 100%. And we'll kind of get into this when we talk about secondaries. But one thing that I realized early is, like, you know, whenever I first started GSC, it was like, you know, we do the secondaries very well. But honestly, you're only gonna be doing one card, because you're gonna be burning another one because you need the CP. So it's not like you're gonna be doing every card. More often than not, you're not going to be doing every card you come across just because you want 3 CP or whatever on your drop turn.
True. But and honestly, I actually, this is something that I've been doing for a little while too, is that I do end up keeping one of my 20 blocks on the board a lot of the time. And it's not just to hold the objective, that's just kind of a bonus, but the Overwatch threat in some games that they provide,
it's true,
is terrifying.
Yeah. I always tell people, like, you know, even like chunky things of like, yes, I may not have my sustains right now, but I am rerolling everything because all my neophytes always have a Primus. They're rerolling, and seismics can hurt. You know what I mean? If they get through, if they get through, they could be wounding on 4s and 5s, but it's D3 damage each. So, So this is also something that we kind of touched on, but would you be more towards keeping you and your opponent at a 10, or are you trying to get a 15?
Well, this is where it comes to, am I playing in a team tournament or am I playing in singles, and what am I playing, how's my team doing? There's a lot of factors that go into this. In singles, I am always just trying to stay 1 point ahead, that's it.
Okay.
Like, I don't care about a big win. I just it's a lot easier to hold a small win than it is to just go for a big win every time when you're playing singles.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to teams, I'm the player that I'll still do that, but I'll hold in my back pocket because GSC is so flexible in terms of picking stuff up and the things that they can do and the resources they can regain later on if it's really getting lucky with some of its like respawn rolls and whatnot. It is an army that can, out of nowhere, hit you like a ton of bricks. because it decided, oh, there's an opening, I can take it now. Now, in singles, I won't do that because there's no reason to.
Absolutely.
But in teams, if I see an opening, I am going to shove it down your throat. Like I will definitely take advantage of any kind of little opening of either a spot that, oh shit, I can fit a lying in wait demo squad here that can't get Overwatch and is actually going to fuck up the whole back line or whatever it might be. An opportunity to get more points in a team. If I see it, I will take it. Mm-hmm. Now, we do, like, when we playing in teams, I will always go for the 10-10 to start until I see that opening. Or if the coach comes by and say, hey, we need some more points from you, can you get it? Mm-hmm. Then usually the answer is maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah. Hey, you come to me and you ask for a point, say, okay, how important is it that I get these points? Because the more important it is, the more risky I get. But the more risky I get, the less likely it's going to work. So,
yeah.
Because we have plays. We have a lot of plays because we have so many units to, like, push into these, like, start charging home objectives with your 20 neophytes kind of thing. It's not something you want to do, but if you're trying to get that differential, sometimes that's what you have to do. So, and if you fail, it's like, well, now I'm in the middle of in the middle of your army that they're just going to kill me next turn because, like, there's nothing I can do. That's why I need to know, how risky do you need me to get? Because GSC is an army that can make these huge differentials out of nowhere, but it is such a risk. You just need to be able to figure out if it's worth the risk or not. Like, how if I don't succeed in this, my 10-10 goes to a 2-18. So
yeah,
you tell me how important it is. And it's like, if we're gonna lose anyway, well, I might as well.
Exactly. Yeah. No, that's a great point. Yeah, I think. I think GSC are kind of, like you said earlier, like we're one of those, like, we can hold two objectives all day long. Pushing for that third gets spooky. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
we can stop you from holding a third or holding a second one, rather. But
exactly,
pushing onto it is like, I don't really want to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. Well, so. Anything else you want to add for scoring our own primary?
Our own primary, I think that's pretty much all you want to think of is one objective in No Man's Land. There are some exceptions, obviously, but we're much better at denying their primary than worrying about scoring our own. As long as we're getting our minimum, we can usually keep it to the small win we want.
Okay, exactly. Which, funny you say that, because our next part is denying primary.
Oh,
how about this? It's almost like we planned this. Yeah. So yeah, denying opponent primary. I had Danny Porter on the show a few weeks ago, and we kind of, like, touched on this a bit. I think GSC are probably the best. I didn't even say probably. They are the best primary denial army. Like, I don't know, CK is really good at it, but I think GSC do it better just because with our ability to have a 3-inch deep strike. We are so good at denying primary and just denying scoring in general. But obviously, you know, because we have tunnel crawlers and you know, aberrant bricks can be spooky and can, you know, just keep areas of the board clear. So specifically with using the tunnel crawler stratagem, which is, you know, our 3-inch deep trick, how are you using that to deny primary?
Well, it's funny because you also need that for your demo charge squads, right?
Yeah.
Now, ironically, demo charge squads are really high OC.
Yeah.
So
being battle line is really nice.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. And yeah, you want to throw them out there because early on, you have a better chance of them coming back and doing it again. So, and then, actually, I should bring up, too, one of the things that is important to note with this, if we got back to the point that we did have, like, an Acolyte unit that couldn't equip heavy weapons or whatnot, and it went back to the 45 points that it used to be, if we suddenly got those back, GSC would suddenly start winning a lot more events because now we have those low scoring units that can just deny primary and cost us almost nothing.
So back to being like mining tool, like everyone has buzz saws kind of thing, or I think.
Well, not even like I like the idea. I would like it if they just added an acolyte unit that couldn't equip heavy weapons to make them like half the cost.
Because oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
they're costed right now to have those weapons and respawn. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we don't need both. Like, mm-hmm. I'd like to be able to just bring cheap units, and if we got that, then we would go back to being able to deny primary so well that singles events become a lot easier for us because we don't need to worry about scoring our own primary because we can make sure they don't score it either. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot easier that way. But back to the point at hand is that the demo charge units are by far the best units to deny primary with because you're coming in there, stealing an objective, and killing something, and move blocking, all with this one unit.
Mm-hmm.
For technically... technically, you only need to spend one CP to do all this. Normally, you're going to spend more if you're trying to kill stuff. But usually, it's only going to cost one CP. And you're denying 5, sometimes 10 primary, if you can stretch them long enough, the objectives are close enough, and you kill the stuff on there. And you're killing at least one thing, sometimes two, if there's a good flamer target nearby. Like they're so versatile with their one, that one squad. They're so valuable. But I do think that 2 is enough because 3, you're generally only going to be deep striking one or three, unless you have a Goliath and you have another one in a Goliath, because those are also good to just run out and grab objectives that way, because they're not bad in close combat, even without mining.
Oh, yeah.
Units, you know?
Yeah. They're actually just... and the leader's claws plus claws is solid. You know, I remember when I was experimenting with like a locust, they're not a terrible melee threat, even without the mining tools. Yeah,
no, not at all. Like they're actually strength 4, negative 1, and re-rolling ones to hit just because they're acolytes. And you're on an objective. Cool, I re-roll ones to wound too because I'm an acolyte. It's they're very efficient units. It's just they're still expensive.
They're expensive.
170 points to ace a unit and deny some primary. So technically, if you play them right, you can actually deny double primary. You can like, take them off of two objectives by killing one thing and then just holding the other one.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's why like that one squad can, by itself, even out primary in one turn. Mm-hmm. Technically for one CP. Maybe more.
Yeah.
But that's if you need to kill something bigger. Grenade, perfect ambush, all the good stuff. We have really good at secondary.
Oh, but... yeah.
Or secondary set stratagems with them.
Yeah. So
that's a big one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. I think, the acolyte, the tunnel crawling acolytes are probably the bread and butter of that, primary denial plan. Are you ever considering? I know this is obviously a bit list dependent. I'm kind of in the same boat as you are in terms of keeping my neophyte safe just because I'm only running 2 units. But let's say you were running 3, would you be considering tunnel crawling neophyte unit, or are you pretty much only exclusively going to be doing that with the acolytes?
I will be tunnel crawling a neophyte unit if it doesn't have a Primus in it most of the time. Because if it has a Primus in it, they are too valuable.
Yeah,
it's one of the reasons that I disagree with all the GSC players that are putting a Primus with the demo charge squad, because one, they generally don't need it. It's
100%. Yeah,
and 2, you maybe get use out of it once.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you know what? At best, you get to charge something with it afterwards because they don't have the demo charges after that.
Yeah.
And now you have this Primus out there that's just going to die with the squad, and he doesn't come back. And Primuses are 90 points now. That's a lot of points. That's 10 neophytes.
Yeah, exactly. And here I have whiffed with a Primus and Acolyte. Like if you're gonna whiff, sometimes you just whiff. It happened. That's Gene Stealer Cole. That was Gene Stealer Cole in 9th edition as well. Like there will be times you just whiff. Like it happens. I mean, luckily we have the ability, especially for acolytes. Now that's another reason why not to bring Primuses on acolytes, because if they whiff, they can at least maybe come back and try again.
Yep, exactly. That's why if I have a Primus with them, I'm so less inclined to just throw them away. But when there's no Primus with them, you want to throw them away early. Like, you want to get in there, kill something, die, so you can do that again.
Yeah.
Even if it's only a small chance, but when it happens.
Like, okay, I guess I'm just killing a Rhino or just killing Intercepts. That's fine
Yep,
because, you know, I'm
that's
doing it
fine.
turn two.
Exactly. I'm
We'll do
okay
it
with
again.
that.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah, I 100% agree. I think anytime that that you're bringing neophytes with a Primus, it's a really, like, there's got to be some Giga Brain 5,000 IQ move that you know that this is going to win the game, because if
And it
not,
does
then
happen. It does
it does
happen.
for sure. You know,
Absolutely does happen.
like if you're able to stop their scout moves or just kind
Yeah.
of contain them, and, you know, like
Well,
world eaters.
even just like because they have the ability to go up and down all the time, there are definitely a lot of situations. And one of the reasons I like to keep them safe is because that way they're available the end of games. Like, all right, cool. Last turn, I'll just
True. Yeah.
bring these guys in, and now I own all the objectives because this 20-man squad's still alive. They're
I
just
that's
they're valuable.
yeah. That's a good preface point. I think end of game scoring, I think that's when I'm like, because usually turn four, that's when I'm okay with, like, I'm okay losing a neophyte unit if it's stopping, you know, two primary, like,
Yeah,
or ten
exactly.
unit.
Or just move block because they are a massive footprint. So
100%. Yeah. At that point, because typically turn five, all I'll need is just one neophyte, if that. I mean, I know in my personal list, I also run a package of indirects, so those guys can also really help out in the end of game scoring. But yeah, no, I 100% agree. Yeah, that's a good point to preface. So yeah, we kind of talked about the Taunt Crawlers. So what are your th and it hurts my heart, because I'm a big fan of Twisted Helix, but what are your thoughts of, like, using melee units for primary denial?
So, there are several schools of thought on this right now. And I think the main one has to start off with what kind of list are you trying to build? Because I joked about it a lot. I made fun of it a lot when the pure strain G-Soothers dropped in points and being the only thing in our index that dropped in points with the latest data slate. I made fun of it incessantly because I thought that was hilarious and also aggravating. But.
Aggravating is right.
But that said, they are actually now the cheapest infantry unit that we can field. And they do have really good combat profiles, and they do infiltrate for free, and they do advance and charge for free. So I can talk about this now because the lists are locked and live, but one of the lists that I've been having a lot of fun with in team specifically is a full aggression list with the backup of the shooting. So it's 10 aberrants infiltrating with a biophage just only because I couldn't afford the abominant with everything else I wanted, but biophages would be fine for it. So infiltrating abominant and 30 gene stealers with
Oh, wow.
two groups of 20 neophytes and two groups of 10 demo charges with and a saboteur, still a ridge runner. Like it is an army that I will shove this stuff in your face. Here is 90 wounds while I shoot you and pelt you with all my guns. Can you deal with that? Because if not, this is going to be a big differential.
That is the other than, like, Muscle Beach, that is
Yeah.
probably, like, the most stat checky GSC list I've heard of. But that is awesome. That sounds like a lot of, there's probably, I'm sure there's tons of armies out there that are like, I don't know what to do against all these
There's
fucking, I don't have enough bullets to shoot
exactly.
everything.
Because one thing we have to remember, I always forgot this for a long time, but the G-Soothers are two wounds now, which is something I'm
There are
still
two
trying to get through my
wounds,
head.
yeah.
Yeah. They are actually a pain to get rid of. For the first little while, I was bringing a couple groups of five because they were great for infiltrating, great for scoring. And then when I started using them to, tie stuff up or whatnot, and people were having trouble removing them, like, huh, these are a lot more durable than I remember them being.
I
That's
mean, they're
a big
Marines
move.
with an invul that could punch
Yeah.
harder than Marine,
That's
so
what I mean. Like, they're actually not
yeah.
bad. So I started running this, like, full aggro gene stealers with the infiltrating aberrants because, why the hell not? I have some bigger stuff in there, too. And it allows the neophytes and the oculus to just do whatever they want.
Yeah,
So it's.
giant mud pit.
But the thing is, I'm not taking the gene stealers because they're good in combat. That's not why I'm taking them at all. I'm taking them because they can be in combat very quickly and put that pressure on. Because if you're familiar with GSC, one of the biggest weaknesses that people will tout about GSC is hard aggro aggression, like tying up your neophytes, getting in your face and stopping you from doing other deep strikes. You know what stops that? Aggro.
Yeah.
When you have 90 wounds standing in front of them, it's like, well, you can't do that to me now because I'm doing it to you.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's actually has been it's made some of the harder matchups for GSC way easier. Like, I've been practicing into some of the matchups that I consider the hardest matchups for GSC and end up 20-0ing them a lot of the time because they just can't. Even when I killed all these Gene Stealers, and if you roll that 1-4 up, oh man, is that ever.
Yeah.
Like, cool, here's 10 more Gene Stealers, but they're back. And when it happens with the Aberrants, oh, they just quit. That's it. But it is, it's one of those things that you can't, like, you never, ever, ever rely on that 4 up, but when it happens, whoo.
It can be.
Whoo.
Oh, yeah.
It's back.
It's, in my opinion, our army rule, like, gives me breathing room. That's what, like, I don't rely on it, but when it happens, it's like, ah. I could take a little bit of a breath and not, like, sweating as much.
Exactly, yeah.
But that's a good point about this. So, you know, using these pure strains at their new points cost. So, obviously, you know, you're using them for, like, a turn one kind of alpha strike.
Move blocking. Like, if people are going to say, Custodes beat them up. It's like, yeah, well, don't charge them then. Just move block them.
yeah, for sure. So, and... Yeah, I mean, that does deny primary
by
having a wall of wounds. Something I wanted to, like, kind of talk to you about. So I remember, I forget what tournament you brought this list to, but you brought 3x5 aberrants without leaders. And I was like, at first I was like, oh my God, Dustin, what were you smoking, man, when you made this? But then I thought about it some more, and I'm like, hang on. And I played a game with one of my buddies, and we were just kind of like talking about aberrants, and he's like, you know, when I see a 5-man aberrant break and I see a 10-man aberrant break, I send the same amount of resources to deal with it.
Yes, exactly, right there.
You send
right there,
and like. That's it. So actually in my current list, I didn't bring the 3. I brought the 2x5 man, but both with Abominance. Yep. Just so that way they could come back up and
I've definitely done it with the Abominance too. The Abominance does add a lot to them. That's definitely a way to do it.
Yeah, but I think those have been those little 5-man goon squads have been fantastic primary denial tools. So many armies just want to deny primary with like a Rhino.
Yep.
You know, or they'll throw their Rhino, who will be doing homers and cleanse, you know, and then like all their shooty killy things are all up mid board. It's like, well, your Rhino's not gonna survive against my five dudes and the big dad.
No.
So, and it's even if it does, it's still the Rhino's only 3 OC versus the 6 that you're gonna have on.
Yeah, exactly.
So that one, I think
they can't commit the same amount of stuff to it too, like you were saying. Like, if you just have 5 Oculus, then Rhino does all right, helps storm bolt you to death. Aberrants doesn't work so well.
No, and ever since he told that to me, I've really become a lot more interested in the MSU aberrant kind of style, whether it be 2 or 3 5 mans. It's definitely interesting. It's so much more interesting. Play style, and it just opens up because a 10-man aberrant, you know, unit can be kited and denied and stopped, and but you know, you split them up, like that becomes a whole different ball game. So that's definitely like a tool that you've inspired me to kind of explore in terms of not only primary denial but also of just splitting up resources across the map that now my opponent, like, because you think you only have to use half the amount of resources to kill that aberrant break, but you know, if I go to ground and all that other stuff, pretty good chance that even if one or two are still alive, like that's still a fucking threat, especially with the sustain that they're getting from the Abominance.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. Like, even because I'd like to think that I started that trend, and I'm very proud of that one because I loved how well they performed, because they were incredible. And that's another thing, that you throw 5 aberrants into something on an objective, it's not easy to kick them off. And then again, if you roll that 4 up or 5 up, if it's later in the game, and they're like, fuck, They're still just as annoying to deal with. Like,
oh, without the leader? Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah. You lose the minus one to wound, but who cares? Like,
yeah, who cares?
Four up, feel no pains. Like, get fucked.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredible. And it is the most durable unit we have. And it's infantry, so they can benefit from all of our cool strats.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
It's expensive for what they do, but at the same time, it's the only thing in our army that can do that. So
the whole army is expensive.
Yeah.
Everything's expensive.
Like, everything's expensive. Yeah. Like, I mean, if aberrants ever dropped in cost, then I'm going 3x5 in every list. Like, that's just happening.
Oh God. If a 10 man got down to 300 points, I'm slamming Muscle Beach.
Oh, Muscle Beach are showing up everywhere at that point. Yeah.
Oh, I want that archetype back so bad. Every time I play it, it's just barely not like I just barely don't have the resources I need. It's like,
yeah,
I only had this or that. Like, if the whole list only dropped like 100 points, like this could work. Like, but
yeah,
anyway, I digress. But no, that's a really good list archetype that I think people should be exploring. I found from your team's list. So something that's really interesting is target prioritization. And the reason I'm specifically talking about target prioritization for denying a primary is, Are you shooting things on or off objectives, even if the stuff that's on objectives is not that good? For instance, let's say there's an aggressor brick, you know, somewhere. They can be shot, but you instead could split fire neophytes into two units of scouts who are the only things that are holding primary. Kind of like, what are you doing in that scenario?
So, in that specific scenario, I mean, there's always more to it because you need to
for
think
sure. About, yeah, and I'm just trying to get a like a kind of a basic idea.
Of course,
yeah.
Like generally speaking, if you know where your primary stands, where your opponent's primary stands, and whatnot, at GSC, because we are so expensive, we want to prioritize things that are good at killing us first. Mm-hmm. So I would still kill the aggressors. I would, even if I had no way of killing the scouts in that turn. Unless I'm like, I need like to make up those points, like I said, I will be prioritizing the things that kill me well, which aggression do very well. I would be prioritizing that. Yeah. I would be prioritizing that way above the scouts because once they can't kill me, then I have more resources than them. If I kill two things, I denied you 8 primaries. Like, yeah, but now I denied you 20 neophytes. Like, yeah, that's a problem. That's a problem. Yeah. That's not a good trait. There's like in aggressors are like a good example of it because those are something that I am terrified of. So yes, if I can kill them, I am going to kill them.
Aggressors have killed 5 aberrants in Overwatch.
Oh like, yeah, like they're terrifying. They are terrifying to GSC and things like that. Yeah, if I have the opportunity to kill one of those kind of resources that is good at killing me, and especially if they don't have many of them, because a lot of the times you fight like a space marine list like that, like if they have an aggressor brick, then they'll have, you know, like centurions with missile launchers or las cannons or whatnot, and maybe a couple inceptors, and generally speaking things that aren't nearly as good at killing you as those aggressors are. Like, those are high priority targets. That's there's a lot of times that I will put a squad, like usually a demo squad, because people love killing demo squads even after they've used their demo charges, or leaving them there, which is even better. But, I don't want you to roll that 3 up and respawn. Like, that's cool. I'll hold this objective then.
I'll keep respawning guys and getting more OC and cleansing and doing all sorts of other shit.
I will do that too. So, like, I'll try to bait out those big resources that are really good at killing my neophyte units. Because, to me, my neophytes are the most important thing in my army. Because that is the one thing that I do not want dying. Because I have Primus attached to them. I don't care if the demo charges die. I want the Steelers to die. The aberrants dying is great. Like, it's the neophytes when they start dying. Like, now I'm starting to hurt. Now I don't want that.
That starts getting spooky. Yeah.
Yeah. And the things that kill neophytes are also the things that are good at killing everything else in my army too, right? So generally speaking, you want, if you find something that can kill that, then you kill that first if you can.
Yeah.
Even if it means they're getting a few more points that turn, that's fine. Because unless it's like, you know, turn 5 and there's no other scoring, well then, yeah, I don't care if my neophytes die on your turn.
Mm-hmm.
And you should not score. But whatever, like I said, there's situations for it, but generally speaking, high priority targets die before objectives.
So yeah, threat. Kill your threats first. Kill your predators first.
Yes,
and then like realize like you have the tools to be able to come back for like a turn four, turn five swing.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you know like you've just been drawing shit cards for like the first two or three turns, like you know, like turn three, turn four, turn five, like that. That's where capturing me outpost is going to be. That's where behind enemy lines and all that. That's a good point. You know, I've definitely fallen in that trap before of like, oh man, I'm going to deny 10 primary, but then it's like, and you lost a neophyte unit and there goes half of your repeating output, you know?
Exactly. And then, again, this, it also matters too, if you're playing singles and teams and where you are in it, because singles, you just need to win by 1 point. Teams, if you're trying to get a bigger differential, then sometimes that primary is more important. If losing that neophyte unit, you can still get more points. But again, it's just, it's so important to make sure your future turns are safe.
100%. Oh, that's a good point. And I guess, is it more important? And this one is kind of like, I don't know. So I guess it's balancing denial versus scoring. I'll just say my piece on this, and then I'll have you fill in this. In my mind, any time I deny 5 points, I essentially count that as I'm gaining 5 points. I guess, what is your thoughts on that?
Denial versus scoring. It depends on what you're denying. Because I was saying earlier in the episode, if you're denying something that they can't get back, like if you're denying, say, cleanse when they're doing fixed, that's huge because that is points they will never get back. So that is 100%. That is whatever, how many points it is. If it's 3 points, 4 points, whatever, that's now an 8 point swing almost in terms of differential.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big deal when it's that kind of thing, but if it's denying something that they could make up later, it's more of a risk in terms of what you're putting into it. Like if you're going to lose something to deny those points, you need to make sure that it's going to be worth it. And you by worth it, I mean they can't get it back, or they're unlikely to get it back, and or it doesn't cost you much, which is GSC, as we talked about, we are expensive.
Yeah, exactly. It's got to be really good.
Yeah.
I think like something that would be in consideration would be if you're top or bottom of turn in terms of like end of game scoring. Because if you the GSC player is bottom of turn, like then that means that go for it, because you know you like he can't he's gonna score at the top of turn five, and then you have all the bottom of turn five to, you know, maneuver your units and deny and stuff like that. But if you're going first, if you have top of turn, then kind of like what you said, like then that becomes a little bit like, oh, is this really going to be worth it to lose resources?
Exactly, like you said, especially if you bottom turn, because if you bottom turn at the end of the game, you want as many resources as possible.
Absolutely. So that's pretty much it for talking about primary. Do you have anything else you want to add, Dustin?
No, I think that pretty much covers it. That's like, it's important to deny their primary, but not more important than to kill stuff that's killing you.
For sure. I think that's a really good point. And again, that's why it is like, I'm foot stomping right now. No one can see it, but that's why it's important to play games with GSE. Cause that's like that kind of knowledge only comes by getting your ass kicked. Like over and over and over and over and over. And in something that I talked about with, I think it was with TJ when he was on my show, is like GSC, you have to lose before you can win more than any other army. Like you have to get your shit kicked in before you can start kicking other people's shit in. Like it's just the nature of the army.
Absolutely. Yeah. You won't learn not to make certain mistakes until you make them.
Yeah. 1,000%. Cool. So scoring secondaries. Obviously, this is a big strong suit of what our army could do just by the nature of everything having the deep strike keyword outside of vehicles. So, probably one of the most important questions, specifically with GSC, is scoring cards versus CP economy. When are you recycling cards? Are you ever saying, I'm not going to do a certain card because I'll only get 2 points or 4 points? Like, at what point in the game are you more okay throwing cards? That sort of thing. Just balancing your CP versus scoring.
So we've talked about it before. The CP is extremely important for GSC, and that often takes priority over points early on in the game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that people need to really remember, and I see people make this mistake way too often, especially GSC players. So here's your public service announcement, guys, that you don't have to score your secondaries on turn one. You do not have to do it. Stop throwing away resources to get things that you shouldn't be getting on turn one. Like, I've seen people try to actually get capturing enemy outposts on turn one with things that they really shouldn't be doing it with because they're losing too many resources to do it. Like, stop it! Because one thing to remember is that you do not need to score all your secondaries on every turn in order to max secondary on tactical. Tactical, you only actually need, like, on average, you only need 8 out of the 10 cards. And that's on average. You can have a full turn of not scoring or several turns of not scoring like secondary. On average, you will still be able to max out your secondary. And if you get good ones, you can max it out even less. So
yeah, like a super solid, like bring it down, or
super solid bring it down, a good turn of capture, a good turn of investigate. Like, there's
yeah
a couple things that will just score you a little bit higher than that to even reduce your number. But generally speaking, when you're talking about tactical and you're talking about your secondary objectives, keep in mind, and I'll this the way I always think of it is, I have two cards in the game at least that I just don't need.
Mm-hmm.
So I will pick. It usually happens pretty early. It's usually happening on turn one a lot of the time, unless I get stupid lucky with, like, you know, extend and
like area denial or something.
Extended area denial. I think that's the juiciest turn one you can get.
Yeah.
Like, you get that, you're like, okay, well, I guess I'm scoring this. But most of the time, there's going to be at least one on turn one that you're going to be recycling for a CP, which is another reason that I don't like the 10 man that a lot of people do with the DL fights. Like, I hope I get my one CP here, because then if you do, like, okay, well, now I've got to ditch the secondary that I can't score, then it's for nothing now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice that you have that one CP, but it's again, it's 10 guys that are not...
That 90 points could have been another Primus or something.
It could have been another Primus. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's a lot of things you can do with those points. So it's important to know that. And again, because I do keep my one Neophyte squad on objectives at the beginning of the game a lot of the time for Overwatch threat, I do sometimes get that, and that makes that decision easier. Like, well, now if I already have the CP, so I don't need to think about if I'm going to ditch something. But most of the time, if I can score points on it, unless I'm giving up too much to do it, I will do it.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. One of my, like, strategy, the core, like, my core strategies is always, like, I want 3 CP on turn 2. 98% of the time, just because it just unlocks so much. Then that's your ton of crawling, perfect ambushing, and then you have, like, the option of a grenade. You have the option of, like, next turn you can loan up, or,
and that right there again is actually one of the other reasons I do keep that 120 man on the table to maybe get that 1 CP. So then I know if I have to sacrifice one card or not, depending on what my opponent does too. But it gives me that flexibility that, oh, maybe I will not need to discard that tactical objective. And at the same time, I'm like, okay, well, I still have a 20 man that's in the list. I'm not wasting anything. They can go back up and do everything you need to do.
Plus, a lot of the
facts that we're talking about now let you do it if you go second and come down on turn one. So it makes a big difference when you have those things on the table. So there's a lot of reasons to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So are you ever, like, let's say, for instance, turn one, you draw assassinate, there's nothing for you to score turn one, or there's no way for you to have to be able to score assassinate turn one. Are you typically going to keep, like, especially like a kill secondary that you draw turn one? Or are you usually going to recycle that just to keep the cards flowing?
It depends on the matchup, and it depends on like the situation, and it depends on the card. So like Assassinate, 9 times out of 10, I will never keep that on an early game, unless there's a character that is already in a spot that it's gonna die. I'm never keeping Assassinate. If I draw something like Overwhelming Force on turn one, yeah, I'll generally keep that because I know you're going on an objective. And if you're not, well, oh, that's great. So that's even better for me than you're not scoring primary. I'll sacrifice a couple secondary for you to not get primary, you know? But so it depends on the actual card itself. But most of the time, I don't keep them because, and it's the same reason that I don't like doing fixed. I don't like my opponent knowing what I need to do to score aside from primary. But again, with thing like Overwhelming Force, if you don't go on an objective, cool.
Then that's totally fine.
That's
Yeah,
totally fine.
using stuff like overwhelming force like as a threat, like, and you make a good point, like assassinate, like yes, it's a threat, but it's like that could be easily like one typical like character that you're gonna see that's usually pretty killable if you put resources into is like the Calidus. But it's like, okay, fine, I won't use my Calidus to do this, but she can go and do this instead. You know,
Yeah,
it's
that's the
actually
thing.
not as much of a threat as like you may think it is, kind of thing.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing with Assassinate. They know exactly what you're trying to kill. They're like, cool. Then I can just make sure you can't kill these characters on. And then if you keep it another turn, I will do that again because now you're losing overall points the longer you keep that.
That's 10 primary. Yeah, you just
Yeah.
sacrificed. Or 10 secondary. Yeah. Good point. So typically what is scoring you your secondaries the most? And I'm more kind of going towards like pushing a button kind of like secondaries. So like your cleanse, your investigate signals, your homers, like how are you usually doing that?
Saboteurs and gene stealers are often what do it. Sometimes it'll be acolytes depending on where they are, what they've done. Like I will there will be sometimes that I do not actually use demo charge unit to demo charge. I keep it as the threat. And I love doing this to people because they have to do it. But when I deep strike like neophytes and stuff, and I have the threat, okay, there's a demo charge unit. Like, where's your big Overwatch threats? I got these aggressors over here. It's like, okay, cool. I'm gonna put these neophytes in front of the aggressors. You gonna Overwatch them? Like, no, because I'm waiting for the demo charge unit. Like, cool. Well, the demo charge unit is not coming in this turn, so now these neophytes
they're gonna go do cleanse over
Yeah,
there.
they're gonna go do cleanse, and then they'll come up and do it next turn. So remember that too. Like, they have to activate it when they come in, right? So. If you know you always save the demo charge for last, and then if there's no real safe place to put them, then use them to do secondaries. You know, they don't have to kill shit every turn because they can come back up and do it again. But we have that flexibility.
And something that's really nice with Acolytes is demo charges are assault weapons, so you could
Exactly.
potentially drop it to do like was engage in all fronts through like in a rapid ingress, and then be able to or on your turn, sorry, like so drop them just somewhere, and then you know like put them in such a way that they're not going to get charged or tagged or shot or spend the CP if you have to, and then next turn you know they could advance and still go throw bombs.
Exactly. It's one of the reasons that the five mans are so valuable when you do bring them in like trucks and stuff because they can advance and still do actions because of demo charges. Because demo charges are great for that. So it's actually it makes a big difference when you just priority with these things is a big thing. And it's something to remember with GSC that we can bait out this kind of stuff. Like when you're afraid of something, you're like, well, they're usually going to save it for a demo charge unit. And if they don't, then use the demo charge unit. So, yeah, I'm going to Overwatch that Neophyte unit. Cool. All right. Well, the Seismics are still alive. Grenade launchers are still alive. Prime is still alive. And now here's a demo charge unit in your face. So.
I mean, it kills me that like people sleep on neophyte damage, but if neophytes are coming down throwing a grenade, you know, if you use like tunnel crawlers on them, if they're coming down throwing a grenade and then shooting like the seismics will fuck things up.
Oh no, they shit on things. People do not realize how much damage these neophytes do. And then because it's like, oh, that's all like a bunch of strength 3 stuff, you know. Like, yeah, cool, but I can make them like -2. I can give them +1 to wound. So you're T13? I don't care. I'm still
Still
wounding you on
winning.
fives.
Yeah, with AP2 because of AP2. Trust and Perfect Ambush. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, people sleep. People sleep.
Neophytes are the most dangerous thing in our codex with a Primus. They are.
I think neophytes are the best battle line unit in the game. Like,
oh, they're incredible.
And strategy, absolutely. Stratagem support, like, they're
I would agree with that.
Just with, like, primary denial, movement blocking, and, like, just raw damage, like...
Yeah. That's why I'm worried about what will happen with, like, the Codex, because I don't see another detachment doing what I want it to do with these neophytes. So
I 100% think that I think I'll be running the same codex. Detachment.
I'll try the other stuff because I'm a GSC player. I want to try this stuff, but this is probably going to stay as my competitive list. Like, let's be honest.
The only thing that needs to be adjusted. Oh, our army rule needs a change.
Yes.
But either that or points need to drop. But other than that.
Yep.
So, anything else for scoring secondaries?
No, I think that's pretty much the most part of this. A big thing to remember is you don't need to score every card every turn. Like, on average, 8 cards, you will score max secondary. Most of the time, it'll only take 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. So, you have 2 to 3 cards minimum that you can just say, I don't feel like scoring this. If it's not worth it, I don't have the resource, I don't want to use resources. And but keeping them as well, like when you're keeping them, you got to remember that if you keep a secondary, that is the same as ditching one, except you're not getting the CP because it's one secondary that you're not scoring on that turn. So
and you have to make sure that when you keep it, it's something A, you can do, or B, that it's good. Like you said, overwhelming force, it's going to make your opponent think twice about what they're going to throw on an objective.
Either something they have to do or just something they can't deny.
Because, you know, like what a lot of good players will specifically not do is like put their big chunky things on objectives because that's where acolytes are rerolling their ones to wound.
Yeah.
But if they do that, then they're saying, if they're like, okay, it's fine, I'll just use my scouts. All right, well, that's now instead of having to deep strike my neophytes, you know, 12 away, I don't really care about the rapid fire, you know, from my.
I don't need rapid fire.
Yeah, I'll go 24, I'll go 23.9, 24 inches away from you. You'll never be able to touch me, and I'll still kill those scouts. Yeah. And I'm still getting overwhelming force. So, that's a good point.
And it all comes with just, like, practice, too, right? So
100%. Oh, my God. Last month, I've been on dad leave because we just had a newborn, and I probably got a bit... 20 games in the last like 30 days just because like literally I've been doing nothing but hanging out with my newborn, and basically whenever she was napping I'm like, oh, let's hop on TTS and see what we can do. It's been incredible seeing the progress with GSC just with this last month of just being able to bang out games. Mm-hmm. which just goes to show, you know, what this army requires of a player. I think this is the, you know, this army is the most one trick pony army. Like, you are, I think good GSC players are, they are just good GSC players. You know, they're typically, you don't see like the best GSC players playing, like, they're usually like what you said, like they play like GSC and Tyranids, or maybe like GSC and like maybe like Grey Knights or something like that. But it's usually GSC is still like a top, like, this is an army that they're putting a lot of reps in.
Oh yeah. If I'm ever like need to play a different army, like for team candidate practice or whatnot, if I'm ever playing a different one, I make a list that is as close to my GST as I possibly can, because that's just how I like to play it. That's I want to get more reps with my GST, even if I'm not playing my GST.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a good point. Like I know like Tyler Bortel on his show, he was talking about how he was playing, you know, Hypercrypt. Just because it's the most GSC-esque, meta detachment. Like, no, that's a good point. Yep. So for the last part of the show, what are you usually doing to kind of crawl back from a score deficit? Like, what's some of the decision making you're willing to engage in to, like, let's say, like, you're bottom of 3 and you're 20 points, you know, below. Like, what are you thinking about at this point? Like, okay, I need to start scoring. I need to bump myself up. What am I going to do?
Well, it's funny because honestly, if you're playing GSE, you're usually going to be behind the first couple turns.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So it's something that you need to get used to as a GSE player, because I feel like a lot of the players that are on GSE right now get so down on themselves because they're behind early on, they start to make mistakes or like put things into place that they shouldn't, or get too aggressive with something. And we need to hold back a little bit, because we are going to be behind most of the time. Unless we get really lucky with our secondaries, like the first two turns, we're going to be behind, because our go turn, turn two, sometimes turn three, based on our opponent's movement and what they're doing. So we're going to be behind those times. The important part is that when we have our, I'm using air quotes again, good radio, our go turn, that's when we were deciding, okay, this is when I'm going to make sure that the next couple turns from here on, I am scoring more than my opponent. You can score more than me the first turn, first two turns, whatever. But once I click the go button, this is flipping in my favor. And that means you are killing the things that can kill you, so they can't stop you from doing what you're going to do. You're denying their primaries and then making it harder for them decision-wise and getting secondaries. Mm-hmm. So you need to focus on killing, because that's your biggest threat since we're so expensive. Killing the things that can kill you, then denying with your demo charge squad, because you have one squad that can deny on its own two primary, if not more than that, including some secondaries, still scoring you some secondaries. Like they do so much value, which is the big thing with them. When you have your go turn, that one squad can net you such a differential that the other stuff can focus on their future turns. So that squad does what it needs to do, denies your primary. The other ones are, all right, what is going to score you primary on your next turn? That thing right there, cool, it's dead. It's important to not just know what you're scoring on that turn, but knowing how your opponent's going to score on the next turn and the turn after that.
Mm-hmm. You're playing 4D chess. Yeah, you're trying to think. Yeah, like your turn, your opponent's thinking about his turn two while you're thinking about their turn four.
Yeah, exactly. And like when you're playing, say, like you're fighting Necrons, like, okay, I have these two Satans in my face. Oh no. Don't shoot them when there's race, because the race you die. Satans won't win the game for them alone if you're killing all their other fast scoring stuff. So it's just an example of that kind of stuff. But target priority doesn't necessarily mean the biggest thing. Like, oh god, it's gonna tie me up. Like, cool, you can tie up 20 neophytes at the end of the game, but I still outscore you, kind of thing. It's whatever. Like, as long as I've killed your other scoring, that's why a lot of people will be. If you're playing GSC or any army for that matter, you are going to take out their fast-moving scoring pieces before anything else, unless there's, again, a big threat that is going to kill you if you don't.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. That's actually what inspired my the Basilisk list that I'm running right now. Is like, I was so sick and tired of having to activate neophytes to kill like fast-moving, cheap scoring shit. I'm like, I can take 500 points a guard. Boom, two Basilisks.
Yep,
go.
There we go. Done.
Kill shit. Go. or make custodies move 4 inches. Have fun. Never moving anywhere.
Basilisks are a great ad for any GSC list, for sure.
Oh, yeah. No, they've been really fun. I've been enjoying them. No, that's a good point. Being okay in that position, like taking a breath and realizing you still have two turns to score. And if the thing is like this game can, 40K, especially in 10th edition, can flip on its head so quick. Because let's say on turn four, you score 10 and they score zero. That's 20 points.
Yep.
That's 20 points of differential right there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Same thing as turn five. That's 20 points of difference. That's all it is. Yep. It's not like, oh, I got to do a bajillion fucking things. It's like, no, you just need to have a couple turns or a turn where you're denying their scoring and you are scoring your stuff, and that's it. That's all it's going to take. Yep. So yeah, I think you bring up a good, like, don't blow your load like early thinking like I have to move heaven and earth right now, because don't. Like, nope. I think it's like it's a catch 22 with our, like, with our go turn. It's like, yes, we have a turn two, turn three, go turn, but we are also an army that benefits from these from a five turns of Warhammer, where we're doing all of our secondaries. We have like three turns of denial and all that other stuff. So yeah, don't be thinking like, oh man, I did my go turn and I didn't do as well as I thought. It's like, you still have three turns of neophyte shooting, of denying and scoring secondaries. So no, that's a good point.
You're never out with GSC as much as you might think you are a lot of the time. And it's okay if you have no models at the end of the game, because if you score more than your opponent, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, your teammate loves to talk about that. Yep. So old Scary, he loves to talk about yeah, it doesn't matter if I'm tabled, because yep. I still won.
Yep, I still won. I have nothing left, but I won, so I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Well, Dustin, we're getting towards the end of the show. I did want to ask you about something. It's a bit off topic. So I remember, I forget which show you were on that you spoke about this, but anyway, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, your bomb truck. That's a really interesting like tech piece. Or I say tech piece, it's not, it's a kill piece. It's a really interesting, like, so how are you using this? So for my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're taking a rock grinder, you're taking five acolytes, and you're taking a reductive saboteur. You're throwing those all together and you're driving it up the board or rapid ingressing. Yeah. And you're being like your boom bus. Exactly. And you're using a combination of two grenades, a free tank shock, essentially from the rock grinder, and then acolytes throwing demo charges, reductus throwing demo charges, and the rock grinder throwing demo charges. So what I think of it as, like, you know how sisters have like the Morven Fall Paragon, you know, like, oh no, the thing rapid ingress, like, it's like that but much more violent.
Yeah, it's definitely more violent.
Can you tell me about that? Like, how are you using that? How has it been going for you? Because I'm just very interested in it. It's such a cool concept.
That thing is probably my favorite thing to use in a GSC right now. It's a little CP heavy, depending on what you're needing it for, but it has lifted more weight than anything I have ever brought in GSC to date. So the biggest thing that it's ever done, and this was, it was like with average rolling, there was no crazy rolling on either part. Mm-hmm. With average rolling, I always rapid ingress it. It's important, like, in my opinion, it is important to have a unit to rapid ingress in every list. Because rapid ingress is like one of the best strats in the game. It is incredible. Usually it's a melee unit. Sometimes it's not. But usually it's a melee unit. Like, if you do it with Aberrants, you do it with the Gene Stealers. And I will say the Gene Stealer Cult have a very, very, very good enhancement of free heroic, which makes rapid ingress with the melee unit, and then the Locust that fights first, fucking incredible. Just saying.
Yeah.
If we had better melee with those guys, oh my god. Anyway.
Oh, the moment we get a melee detachment, like, three Locusts in your list, yeah, like, a guaranteed 40 points for that fucking guy? Come on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so that's the package you're talking about in one game killed, in a single turn when it came in, they killed Angron and 12 Exalted 8-Pound.
Disgusting.
Like, happened, crimes, I was just like, holy shit, this is incredible. And it's like consistently done something that damaging every time they come in. It's harder to place. You need to make sure it gets in a spot that it can get into the threat range without dying, because it's rapid ingressing, so it's going to be a target if you don't put it in the right spot.
And
I plan WGD,
and you can't use a low knob on it.
Correct,
since
yeah.
It's not infantry, yeah. So
you need to be careful with it.
That's a really good point, yeah.
You do need to be careful with, but I play on WGC tables, so usually there's always a spot that I can safely put it, and it moves well. The guys
behind
can get
the crates
out.
Behind or yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There's lots of places you can usually do it, so it's good for that, because if you get into position, the damage that outputs, and the fact that it's a melee unit, because the grinder will charge afterwards, it will steal an objective back and still kill shit. If you need it, you can do a real tank shock with the free tank shock. It's, oh my god, they do so much damage. It's incredible. I love that unit. I love that unit so much.
So the only thing I tried it, but I play on GW boards.
Right.
And they're just really, So on GW boards, the only thing I'm rapid ingressing usually is Acolytes, so that way I could have like a turn three, like I'll look for like a turn three, or like if I bottom a turn, like a turn two, like two Acolytes coming down kind of thing. But mostly because I could spend the strat to make them loan op. But oh yeah, if I was playing on WTC boards, I think 100% that guy just fuck everything else. That boom truck comes first, then I build my list.
Exactly. That is important to note, because that is something that I build specifically for the tables that I'm playing on. Like if I'm playing on GW tables, I will never bring that.
There's just this terrible, terrible places for that thing to hide.
Even on like player place. In fact, you know what? WTC tables might be one of the few tables that I can bring that on. But when I can bring it, I'm fucking bringing it. I love that thing.
That's so funny. I love that thing. It makes me so, it gives me so much joy just knowing it exists and knowing that you're playing it. And one more final thing. So this is something I've been seeing a lot on, and I just want to hear your opinion, because this is I think something that's important for the GSC community. For Gene Stealer Cult specifically, what are your thoughts on netlisting?
So, okay, I need to be careful with this, because I do not, I have no problem with netlisting. Netlisting, when you're like just learning, especially when you're just learning a faction and whatnot, netlisting to figure out what is working for people and whatnot is great. It is great to do that. But something that you need to keep in mind, especially, this is especially true for Gene Stealer Cult, and for actually most armies right now, it's the same idea. There are going to be synergies in there. There's going to be tactics in there that not only is it going to be something that you might not be aware of in terms of what the army can do, it might be something specific to the person that built that list. For example, when people will see that Rock Grinder with me, They won't immediately put together like all these five men go in there, a saboteur goes in with it. They don't always do that. Maybe they'll figure out the five men goes in there. But they wouldn't think of all the other stuff that go with it, like, oh well, that doesn't make any sense. And they would start on the board, like, oh, this thing's garbage, it's trash. I don't know why this idiot took this thing. It's something that only that person a lot of the time will know what they're doing with it or feel comfortable with it. And it might not be your style either. So when you netlist something, you might be netlisting something that is completely out of style for you. Mm-hmm. So if you're playing it and you don't like it for whatever reason, it's important to start making it your own. Like, netlisting is great as like a starting point. Mm-hmm. And then play it a couple times, see like, oh, I don't like this, or I prefer I have this, add it. Doesn't matter if it's good or not, because if it's your style and you play it enough, it will get good. And you will get good with it.
That's such a good point. Yeah, it doesn't like I think a great example of this was John Lennon's Ultramarine Vanguard list.
Yeah.
Once that like came second at Worlds, so many people jumped on that train and were doing terrible.
Yeah, they were getting shit on.
They were getting monkeyed, man. They were getting shat on. Like, it was amazing how bad people were.
Yeah.
I remember I went and I played. I'm not saying everyone who played that list, like, that's not John Lennon, did terrible. No, there were people who were doing well because they understood, you know, they understood the assignment. They understood, like, okay, this is what you do. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Got it. Okay, cool. Or, you know, or better yet, they watched the stream and they watched how he played it and things like that. So, but there was, I remember I went on the TTS Discord after that and I played a couple guys. I'm like, what the fuck are you, why are you charging me with these, you know, Centurion, like, what are you doing? What is happening?
What is going on?
Like, you're dead. You just lost turn three. Like, what are you doing? So I think that's a really good point. And so, the reason why I said specifically, but you do go, like, I think a 10th edition, like, netlisting is just, like, I think in other editions, and I know people have talked about this, because I didn't start playing the game until, actually, my first game of 40K was the day that Botan was released. So very new, like, compared to a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. But, like, especially, like, from what I understand, like, in 8th and 7th and even parts of 9th, early 9th, like, so many lists were like, oh, just bring a lot of the really good stuff and you'll do well. You know what I mean? Like, here's six units of troops in six boats, you know what I mean, for Harlequins. And here is Crusher Stampede, which is all this, and the Horus Packs, and this and that. Like, it's just, if you bring that, you'll just win. But one thing towards the later parts of ninth, like into 10th, is the game is so much more technical, like so much more nuanced. That's like, you can't just bring three, all good stuff, win, and make it past like table three anymore.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. It's definitely gotten, I think 7th was the first time that it started being just, you can net list because, hey, if you just bring all these things that have two up invulnerables re-rolling, you can win. Like, yeah, I feel like I can do that. I can handle that. They got progressively more nuanced as the additions went on, and now 10th is kind of at the point that, yeah, net listing is not just pick up and put it on the table anymore, for sure. Which I do, I really like that. I do really like that. The fact that you can't just pick up and play it and just do well. You have to understand some nuances. You have to have your own pieces in there to make it feel right. Because there'll be people that'll play GSC or whatever, and they're not, like, GSC players at all. They're like, world leaders, so they're running at people like, man, I wish I had like more things that are just good at running at people. Like, hey, try this world leader list. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of finding what you actually like and the way you like to play, too.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a good point. And, I mean, at the end of the day, is like, if you're playing some, like, some bullshit, like, if it wins games, who the fuck cares? Like, who cares? Like, if you found a way to make 3 icon wards and 3 clam abysses and shit, and you're going... and you're going 5-0, like, great. Yeah. That works.
Good on you.
I would never recommend anyone else take that, because that obviously that list is something that you did, that you played and you repped, and only you really know how it plays. So I think GSC is just like, since we don't have the player base to be like, oh, well, 35 people, you know, like when Anthony Vanilla's like 1975 World Eaters list came out, like so many people played that list. That's like, okay, that list is fairly easy net list because, you know, it went through the rigors of 55, you know, world-class people playing it versus like a GSC. Like, I could probably count on 2 hands the amount of people who have played more than 10 games of GSC in the world in a month.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's a big difference. And I will mention, too, that anybody listening to this that is trying to netlist off of my list, I make specifically team lists for WTC terrain. So if you're not playing on teams or WTC, there's going to be things missing.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it. I'm making specific lists for this kind of environment. So, and that's something that GSC has to do. We have to build for the environment we're playing into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that, and that's why, like, you know, I've noticed that I really like Basilisks on GW terrain, but, you know, on WTC, like, the indirect, it really doesn't matter because of the way that this fucking wall touches this, you know what I mean? It all matters.
It does, for sure.
Yeah. But anyway, Dustin, thanks so much for having, for hopping on. I feel like we had some great discussion about Gene Sealer Cult. What final piece of advice do you have to anyone who's trying to get better with GSC?
Get the reps. Just play games that doesn't, and losing is good. You want to lose. Yeah. Don't do take backs when you make a mistake in your practice games. Always eat it. You will never remember a mistake that you never make.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know on UKTC boards that even though I put fucking my blip in my back line, that could still be seen by a sister's castigator from across the map because of the angle of where it's at. I know that angle exists. It is imprinted on my brain because I threw those acolytes there and then they die thinking, oh, it's going to be fun. I'm going to pick them up, you know, at the end of the turn. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to shoot them. Oh, that angle does fucking exist. Great. Well, all right. Well, fun. I guess I'll lose. That's a good point. Well, anyway, Dustin, thanks for coming on. Do you have any final plugs for anywhere people can find you or find your team or learn about Team Canada, that sort of stuff?
Oh, you can always look at the Team Canada stuff on Facebook. Go search up Stutter Scrub, where myself and Scary do our podcast every 2 weeks. And, of course, the Warhammer Meta Chasers, which I'm on every Thursday night, Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Just tune in there. We go over all the meta, and we do that every week. So I do a lot of Warhammer stuff. So by all means, check it out.
Yep. And I'll make sure to post links to those in the show notes so that way people can find you a little bit easier. All right. Well, thanks again. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
See ya.